chapter 34. And we have a leadership meeting this afternoon, well, right after church. So I'm going to try to be time sensitive. Don't read anything into that. I'm still who I am, but I'm trying. There's just some interesting things in this passage. So Psalm 34, I'm going to go through the whole chapter, 22 verses, and then I'm going to look at the end of Matthew chapter 11. And they tie in together. And this is an Old Testament testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Now, before I read this to you, just a touch of history. We've talked about King David many times, but he had such adventures in his life. Adventures, misadventures. Some things were because of his own doing, but some things the Lord allowed, and sometimes the Lord will just allow some almost pure craziness to happen in your life, and to where you're asking, God, what is this, right? Why do we have, I'll give you, why do we have water coming into the church and it hasn't rained in days and we fixed the leak? Why do we continue? So that's one of my things. But it's not like this. When I think of, I sometimes I get amazed at how many things I've seen God bring me through and I let a little water leak get on my nerves, right? See, y'all are way more spiritual than I am, and you didn't even realize that till just right now. But here's David. He's pretending like he's mad. And I don't mean like ticked off mad. I'm talking about crazy mad. He's out in the field eating grass like an animal. So he's having to throw King Abimelech. I'm sorry. He's having to throw Abimelech off, who drove him away and he departed. But this is going on. David wrote that psalm out of this. That time in his life when he was having to act like a madman. He wasn't mad. He still had his mind, but he was having to act mad, like crazy mad. So I'm not saying God will give you an excuse to act crazy, but he did it for David. In the middle of that, David says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to stop right here and say, if out of the one of the craziest times in David's life, he gets a psalm like this to sing unto the Lord, if he can go through that, and he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. That is an incredible thing to me. But what that also tells me is that praise is always an acceptable action unto God. That doesn't matter. In the middle of one of the craziest times in David's life, praise was still appropriate. You're never going to scare God off while you're praising him. Amen. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to stop that often, but I just want to say this. He delivered me from all my fears. I'm convinced right now, even as believers, one of our biggest obstacles that we're having to get over right now is fear. Two or three people admitted to it. And I'm not saying that we're shuddering in the corner. I'm saying that there's this looming thing of fear that's trying to get us down. Do you know that that's an enemy tactic? Look at your neighbor and say, that's an enemy tactic. God is untouched. There's nothing that could happen that he wouldn't know about. Somebody's put it to me like this. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? If you'll get that, it'll help you. So I'll move on. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. This is good news for us, by the way. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Pastor John, you just said that we're not supposed to be afraid. Well, it's a different kind of fear. It's not fear as in God's going to get me and things are going to go bad and I've disappointed God so much that certainly his wrath is going to come against me. It's not that kind. This fear right here is translated as the word gyra. Gyra. Gyra is a type of fear where you honor and you respect and you bring reverence unto God. So if that's the kind of fear that he says that we're supposed to have, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The honor of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it pleases him. So what if I don't honor him? That would be dishonor, right? What if I did not revere him, have reverence for him? That would be irreverent, right? See, there's a place. What if I don't respect him? That would be what? Disrespect. So he is still able regardless of our circumstance. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Uh-oh. And your lips from speaking deceit. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Can I tell you just quickly that we could avoid a lot of stuff right here, right there, just right there. My dad told me, he said, son, he taught me this early, you need to be careful with your tongue because it's in a slippery place. That's pretty good right there for an old farm boy. Keep your tongue from evil. That shows responsibility. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and he hears, and his ears are open to their cry. So he hears us when we cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. He's saying what he saw happen to one man, it's available to all men. He said, I didn't just see this guy that got lucky. And I didn't see a guy who just won God's lottery. I was saying that this is available to all of us. If the righteous will cry out, the Lord will hear them. He'll deliver us from all of our troubles. We're living in a time right now where fear is trying its best to be a black cloud that will come and swallow us up and keep our head down and make us fearful of tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now. Can I tell you what will bring you peace? If you'll trust in what he says, all of my days are numbered. All of my days are numbered. I had to come to this realization. I started saying it to myself. Like, if I die from COVID, it will be no surprise to God. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Have you ever had a broken heart? Is your heart broken right now? It could be. A broken heart doesn't just, like what George was talking about, a knee replacement. You got a new knee. You're 60 years old and your knee is brand new. You might walk better on one side than you used to walk on the other. But a broken heart, it takes a minute. Did anybody say amen to that? and save such as have a contrite spirit. That means my spirit is crushed. Have you ever had your spirit crushed? I'm not talking about, well, they looked at me funny today. That I'm not talking about that petty stuff. The truth is, it usually is something petty that causes problems. One day, many, many years ago, I started noticing a pattern of attack on my family. Guess what it was? My pastor. Guess what my attack was? What's today? You had either a Sunday or a Saturday to say that. I gave you the S. Sunday morning. Attack. And then so when I started figuring out what rocked the boat, so petty. There were times that I could not even remember what we were fussing about. And I'd try to. I was in slippery sand. I wasn't on the rock at all. But I was digging for a rock to stand on in my argument. I was like, you know why we're fussing, right? I had forgotten. I completely forgot why we were in fuss. I was trying to get it out where I could fall back on something. And then I realized, oh yes. I forgive you, honey. Come here, I forgive you. That I always say that. I always look at her and say, honey, I just want you to forgive you. That could happen at any time. I'm like the Lord. I'm full of forgiveness. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I get very weary of a gospel that preaches that we're supposed to be up here all the time. And my material gains are supposed to be coming in at such a rate that I can't even keep up with them. And I'm not even down to getting the good stuff. I'm just picking options now. I want the leather package. I want it in this color. When a man says that, but his word says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Righteous has to do with standing. It has to do with position in the Lord. So I'm not going to let the enemy whack away at my standing in the Lord. I just refuse to do that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Bones have to do with structure. Right? I saw this little meme, and I promise you, I'm wasting money on paying a cell phone bill. But I saw something that was so funny to me, because it was just stupid humor. And it was a bunch of dead chickens laying around. I mean, they're just like hanging on stuff and not moving or anything. And above it was a sign that said, boneless chicken farm. I wondered where they got those things from. Without your bones, you're going to fall over. That's it. You're going to die, but you're already dead without your bones. But bones are for structure. When you see bones in the Bible, he's talking about structure. And he says, you think you're falling apart? You won't fall apart in me. This structure, what did we just sing about? On the solid rock, Jesus. I'm not on sinking sand. The structure is not going to. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Condemnation, condemned. Condemned simply means, in its simplest form, means this: uninhabitable. Uninhabitable. That means no one can live there. The structure is not safe enough for anyone to live inside of that. Can't live there. And what the enemy wants you to think is that because of whatever situations in our lives, and we've all got situations, we've all come out of things, and how many of you know that you're an ex something? Praise the Lord. Maybe we're not all ex yet, but I'm going to be an ex something. You got to believe that. But the enemy will try to take what you're ex from and make you live in that thing. Trying to trick your brain into thinking, I am so condemned that Christ could never live inside of me. Uninhabitable. But Scripture says this, there is therefore, the therefore is because of everything that Jesus has already done. Therefore, because of all that He's already done, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. There is no, He can't live inside of me. None of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. So flip to Matthew chapter 11. I want to look at just three short verses right here. Verse 28, 29, and 30. And this is Jesus speaking. And He says this. He says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is speaking of an amazing exchange there. In the Old Testament, it's beauty for ashes. It's the oil of joy for mourning. It's the garments of praise. There's always an exchange when you come to Him. That's the good news. When you come to Him with a need, He has an answer for you. But there's always an exchange. Even when you come to Him with praise, guess what you get? Glory. There's always an exchange, and He's always giving you more than you're giving Him. But you might see what you've got as not even worth giving to Him. The enemy can make you think, this is too embarrassing, or God won't forgive me of this. Of course He will. The only thing you've got to do is give it to Him. He's God. He's not Pastor John. He's not your mom. He's not the person that you trust the most. He's the person that you can really trust. Yes, He is. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus took something that was very common to them, the labor force. It made sense to everybody. Those who labor and those who are heavy laden. Labor is to work for something. Heavy laden is whenever something is put on top of you and you're already working. Not only am I working, now I got something on top of me that's making the load feel even worse, right? Do you understand that the enemy wants to make you feel stuck? Right? Amen? Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. So powerful. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take My yoke upon you. He's speaking good old-fashioned farm language to them, and they got it. They understood it. The yoke was what they would put. It was made out of wood. It was trimmed out of usually a single log or a single tree. And it may house more than one animal. It's usually to put on the back of a bull. And they would use that yoke to put leather straps and bindings on so that it stayed with the animal, and the animal, when it was given the giddy up or whatever, it could put its weight into it and move. And because the yoke was in its place, it could. They also called that a burden, so that would help them plow. But it wouldn't work unless it was strapped to them. That's the whole thing. Let me add a scripture real quick. It'll help complete this puzzle. So, Emily, yeah, I told you. I I probably believe we'll add more. Isaiah 58. All the way down through from the very beginning to from what verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to pick up in 6. But it gives a description of people coming into the presence of the Lord and doing a religious act in front of Him. Really is what it boils down to. And He said, you think that's what I'm wanting? You think He calls it the fast. You think that's the fast that I want? You think I don't hear your voice? He said, this is the picture that I want. Verse 6, is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Wait a second, did I read that right? Let me read it again. I just want to. I'm not that educated. I'm just. So I need to read this again. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Wait a second. Either I'm reading it right or I'm reading it wrong. But what I'm seeing right there is that if you'll do one thing after He does some things, you'll be free. But He's requiring you to do one thing. He'll do the rest, but then there's still something that you need to do. Read it again. Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. What he's saying is, whatever has held you there, it's not holding you as hard as you might act like it's holding you. You've got some say-so in it. To undo the heavy burdens. My yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that what he just said in Matthew chapter 11? To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Come on, Christine. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. Because why do I need to keep preaching something that the answer is that clear? It's just going to come down to this now. A simple act of obedience. Because he's not saying, okay, here's step one, and here's step two, and here's step three, and then when you get through with that, then I need you to do some homework. Step four, step five, step six. Then when you get through with that, step seven, step eight, step nine. Are y'all getting bored with it yet? And then when you get through with that, step 10, step 11, and step 12. Well, don't look so surprised. We have 12-step programs all the time. And he's saying this, I'll do this, you do this, and it's all good. If I give you 12 steps, that means there's some things that need to take place. But if I give you one thing to do, that, my friend, is called instruction. And when there's just one instruction, you can either obey it or you can chunk it. And if you chunk it, you're choosing to not just stay in the straps, but to tighten them back up again. God wants to set you so free that that yoke could just fall right off of you. But he's saying, when you step out of it, break it. Can I tell you, I can't read your mind to find out what that thing is that's got you yoked and got you strapped, and it's a heavy burden on you. I can tell you that he offers an exchange. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I can't hide in your bushes with my binoculars and check out what your yoke is. I got no time for that, nor do I want to. And you don't want me doing that. And you don't want to sit at church with people who are always telling you what you did wrong. But you got to know that you know what's really going on better than anybody else. And if I stand up here and preach something to you that you know is wrong, that's on you. I've learned this in enough years. Me telling you that something is wrong in your life is probably not that much of a big news break to you. If I tell you that this sin is in your life, you know that that's in your life. Sin is not a surprise, folks. Sin is like, gee, well, I never realized I was involved in that. Pastor, help me. No. There's usually some form of cover up or some bit of shame. But I'm telling you that you can be free.
Amen.
He repeats it in Galatians 5. He says, don't be entangled again with what I just got through delivering you from. How easy is that? One way to get rid of it finally and thoroughly and completely is to break it. There's an exchange that takes place with Him. There's a yoke. And He'll break it. And He'll replace it with His yoke. But you've got to walk out of it. There has to be, listen, this thing is not going to work right with Him being God and us being sheep. If we get it right every time the first time. There's going to be a day when we live eternity with Him. And that's, we're going to have a glorified body. Things are going to be different than they are. Temptation is never going to be an issue. But there is responsibility along the way that we are supposed to take for. I'm responsible. You're responsible. Look at your neighbor and tell them all God's children are responsible. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a rest that can come to your physical body, and you need that. There's a rest that can come to your mind, and you need that. But there's a rest that can come to your soul. And you need that. I told a couple people this morning, I don't know much about Winnie the Pooh. I don't know much about Christopher Robin. But I know that there's a little saying that he said one time. He said, it's like somebody, the story went along how the day must have been rough. Because he said, it's just too much day. It's too much day. Describe the day. It's too much day. Has anybody had times in your life when there was just too much day? According to Scripture, He restores my soul.
Amen. Yes.
According to this Scripture, He will bring rest for my soul. I asked Christine to sing this song. And if you've got a heavy burden, and if you've got a yoke that needs to be broken, I want us to take time today and let God break that in your life. Destroy it. And I want you to walk. I believe that the message of His Word has already loosed the bands today. It's already loosed it. It's ready to fall off. And it's His will for you to have a yoke and to have a burden, but not the one that you're carrying. His yoke. In His burden. You sing that, Christine? The